Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning will be taken from our Old Testament reading, Malachi chapter 3. So today is the last Sunday in more than one way. First of all, it is the last Sunday of the church year, meaning, of course, that we've come to the end of our cycle. We have talked about all of the major themes. We've celebrated all of the major festivals of the church year, and we have come now to the end. And we are looking forward then towards the beginning of the next year, getting ready to celebrate once again all of the great things that God has, in fact, done for us. But more significantly, the last day of this church year means that we are going somewhere. It means that we are going towards the culmination of what God is doing in this world. And so we do remember, as I spoke earlier, that history is linear. Yes, indeed, we have a cycle of our church year, but this last Sunday reminds us that history is linear, that God has a goal, and that he is working to take us to that place. And of course, that end is when Jesus returns, and there's going to be a judgment, as is implied in Malachi, our Old Testament reading for today. But more importantly than there being a judgment, we also remember at that time that there is going to be recreation, resurrection, and restoration. Those are the things that truly we are looking forward to. Those are the promises of God to us. Which then brings us to the second last of today. And that is, it's the last of our sermon series, Building on the Promises of God. And we've been talking about this for a long time, ever since July. We've been talking about the promises of God and building on the promises of God. But that it's joined together today with the last Sunday of the church year is kind of a nice thing. And that's not an accident. Kind of manipulated things a little bit so that the end of the sermon series would indeed fall on the last day, believing that that would enhance both of them as we think about these things. So 15 weeks after we began, 13 promises later, we are coming to the end of this sermon series. We could easily go on. Why is that? Well, because in essence, every Sunday we talk about a promise of God. We're always building on the promises of God. As a matter of fact, the very purpose of the church is to proclaim the gospel. The very purpose of every Christian pastor is to proclaim the gospel. The purpose of every sermon that every Christian pastor preaches is to proclaim the gospel. And the gospel is nothing other than the promises of God. So in fact, every Sunday that we gather together, it's about building on the promises of God. But in the narrow sense, we will come to the end of our sermon series. And today I'd like to talk to you a little bit about building on the promises of God in light of the last day and our waiting for that last day to come. The challenge that we face then as we are moving in that direction is to maintain hope. That is always a challenge in our world. Malachi talks about that in our Old Testament reading for today. Remember that Malachi is the last prophet of the Old Testament. So after Malachi, there's 400 years of silence. There is no prophet for 400 years until the coming of John the Baptist. 400 years of waiting, which is not dissimilar to the waiting that we do now, as we're waiting for Jesus to come once again. But in that period of time, as they are waiting, hear what's going on and what the people are saying. Again, from our Old Testament reading, Malachi chapter 3. Your words have been hard against me, says the Lord. Your words have been hard against me. But you say, well, how have we spoken against you? We have said, it is vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping his charge or of walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape. What's the problem? It's hopelessness. The people are losing hope. You can hear it. It's vain to serve God. There's no purpose in doing this. I mean, after all, those who are arrogant seem to be blessed in spite of their arrogance. The evildoers are prospering in spite of their doing evil. They put God to the test and they get away with it. So what is the purpose of serving God? Why are we doing it? What profit is there? What is there to gain in this? And you can hear the hope just flowing away. It's not dissimilar from what we hear people saying today. And perhaps you've even felt that way. Maybe you've not said those words, but certainly there are times when you perhaps feel that way. What's the purpose? Why are we doing this? Why are we seeking to follow the Lord? It seems futile. But I ask you to stop and to think about those words once again, to take a second look, because we need to identify what the real problem is here. The people in this text, and we so often, like to point the finger as if the problem is out there somewhere, you know, in our world. But the reality is that has been happening all throughout history, right? So the people in Malachi's day were saying it, you know, look at all the evil and the corruption and the injustice that there is in our world. But you know, people before Malachi's day were saying the same thing. And they were going to say it afterwards as well, leading up to the time of the coming of Jesus. And even after Jesus came, leading up to our day, people were saying the same thing. And we sometimes hear ourselves saying that. And people after us are going to say that as well. You know, that's just the way things are in this world in which we live. Oftentimes there is corruption and evil and injustice in our world. Is that the problem? Well, not really. Not really when you hear Malachi's words and God's response to what the people were saying. I'm not saying that there aren't problems around us and things that contribute to our hopelessness. But the real problem with hopelessness is not what's going on around us, but what's going on in our heart. Hopelessness is a heart problem. Having hope, losing hope, really has more to do with what you believe about God than what's going on around you in the world. It's what you believe God can and will do. So again, you think about what was being said. It is vain to serve the Lord. The arrogant are blessed. The evildoers are prospering and they're getting away with challenging God. You see, if those things bother you, it's because you believe that God is not going to act, or he cannot act, or the forces outside are greater than God and what he will do. And so really, the bigger problem is with our heart. What do we believe? Which then brings us back to what we are talking about in this series, and that is building on the promises of God. And again, let's go to Malachi. How does God respond to this? He says, then the people of God got together and they started talking to one another. And that's a reference to what we're doing here today. The people gather, people of God gathered together in order to worship, to hear from God, in order to pray, in order to talk with one another. And in that context, God responded to them and said, I want you to remember that you are mine, that you are my beloved, that I have rescued you, I have made you a people, that you are my treasured possession, and you will be my treasured possession on that day when I gather my people together. And on that day, and that's the reference to the last day, you will once again see the distinction between the good and the evil, the righteous and the unrighteous. And you see what God was doing, he was giving a promise to his people. He was calling them to believe, to trust. And that's what God's promises do. They elicit faith in us, in God and who he is and what he will do on our behalf. And with that thought in mind, then let me take you back to our sermon series and the things that we've been talking about. If you want to take a look at the insert on there, it's listed all the things that we've talked about over these 15 weeks. There's a lot of promises on there, very significant things that will be able to help you and give you hope as you are challenged in this world. And so do others try to define you? Do they try to label you in some way or other? Well, what's God's promise, the first one? You are made in my image. See, your identity comes from God and who he says that you are, not from what somebody else says, but what God says. You're made in my image. Are you a victim of circumstances? By no means, because God says, I hear and I answer your prayers. You're not a victim of circumstances. Can challenges in this world rob you of your resources and what you have? Can you be depleted? God says no, because you are my heirs. And everything that is mine is yours. Is there a place for small people in this world, in God's kingdom? God says there's grace for the humble. Will you have wisdom and energy for the challenges that face you in this world? God says, I give you the power of my Holy Spirit. Can you forgive yourself when you fail and when you fail God? God says, there is no condemnation. Do you feel alone in your problems? And Jesus says, I am praying for you. Does evil seem to dominate this world? God says, the devil is already defeated. Is the grave the end? God says, no, it's just temporary. There is resurrection. Is life not fair? God says justice will prevail in the end. Will sorrow never end? God says there's joy in the morning. Can anyone understand your life and what you're going through? Jesus says, yes, I can. I've been there. I've been through it. I can understand. You see, these are the promises of God to you. They are sure and certain. They are not the promises of this world, which can be fickle. They are not the promises of people who often don't keep their promises. These are the promises of God. These are sure and certain because God is trustworthy. And so when you face the things that are going on in this world, you can remember God's promises to you. And you build upon those promises. And this is where our hope comes from, a hope in a sometimes hopeless world. Which takes us back then to where we started this whole series, and that was with the parable that Jesus spoke. about the two men who were building a house. And the one built on sand. And the rains fell and the floods rose. And that house fell with a great crash, because it was not on a solid foundation. It was on the sand. And Jesus says, that's the way it will be for you if you're going to build your promises on things of this world, the things that fail. But the other built the house on the rock, a firm foundation. And the rains fell and the floods rose, and that house stood, and it stood firm. And Jesus said, that's the way it is when you trust in me and the promises that I give to you, that you will stand in the midst of the floods of life. And so it is that we remember what Malachi was talking about, what God said. God said, you are my people. You're mine. You're my treasured possession. And yes, one day, you will once again see the distinction between the righteous and the unrighteous, between good and evil. I will make things right in the end. And you see, that promise of God then elicits faith in us, that we might have hope. We go to our gospel reading for today. And there we see Jesus on the cross, you know, in the midst of some pretty bad circumstances, that he is going to die. And so are the two thieves on either side of him. And to the one thief, Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. To that thief and to us, God gives that promise and elicits faith. He says, trust my words, that I will remember you. And that gives us hope. And God gives us a multitude of other promises, a Bible full of them, for every circumstance that there is in life. And he calls us to trust in him. Because that's what his promises do. They elicit, draw forth faith in us. And believing and trusting in his promises, we have hope for this world as we wait for him to come. In Jesus' name, amen.